Merhaba. Parlament Malti, haja adno pishi na rakom kolonek, jiburi mish namlu session tayba flimkin, talmini European Assembly. Nishti nilqakom al-finali ta' dana il-mini European Assembly, fil-Kamra tad-Deputati, il-Parlament Malti, l-ola, l-istituzzjoni tal-pajjiż, illi ovvjament napprezza li ħafna minnkom għadkom il-preparazzjoni bil-lingwa Ingliża, ma fejn tistgħu titkellmu bil-Malti, ovvjament dan huwa il-Parlament li l-lingwa tiegħu huwa il-Malti. U għalhekk din l-attività li nifhem li jamtella minn National Student Service Foundation, li niftakar ti tim waqfa mill-1977, b'riżoluzzjoni li kien saret mill-Kunsill tal-Studenti tal-Università. Niftakar attif ħafna l-ħabib tiegħi l-mibki l-professur Giorgio Mifsubonixi. Bil-lan li tieħdu diversi inizjattivi edukattivi li jikkumplementaw allura mal-istudju wkoll tal-livell post-sekondarju u tal-università. Permezz ta' dawn il-programmi edukattivi, il-National Student Level Foundation ridet ukoll tissell fikom inkom l-studenti Maltin il-ħrara, l-enerġija li twessaw l-orizzonti tagħkom permezz tal-laqgħat ukoll ma' studenti barranin, anke f'livell mhux Malta biss anke f'pajjiżi oħra. U f'dawn il-laqgħat li ħanqfostom tallu, l-inizjattiva li għandkom, inizjattivi, intkom bħala żgħażagħ tiksbu esperjenzi varji billi taqsmu ideat kemm magħkom ma' sħabkom u moħrajn u saħan sitra tiftemu ħalli tieħdu azzjoni fuq temi ta' interess komuni. Ovvjament illum għandna ħafna suġġetti fosthom l-immigrazzjoni regolari li hija suġġett jaħraq importanti ċertament mhux Malta biss imma f'livell Ewropew u f'livell internazzjonali. Walera l-għan huwa li intkom tarfu l-importanza din importanti, kanna laqa ma' Franz, t-tilu, għan nitkellmu fuqek, l-importanza ta' solidarjetà umana, però fl-istess ħin l-impenn ta' kullu waħda minnkom favur rabtiet ta' biberija fost il-ġnus. Għallas ma' jkunx il-biberija fost il-ġnus, għax għarawx qed jiġri, kemm għandna bżonn naqdu iktar dan li qed naqdu bħalissa minn mill-pandemija tal-COVID-19. Allora, nixtieq insemmi wkoll il-prominenza ta' dawk favur il-ħarsien, per eżempju, tal-Wirt Nazzjonali Malti u programmi li promuvu l-kooperazzjoni kulturali, dik xjentifika, kemm f'Malta, kif ukoll ma' pajjiżi oħra. Kif qed jiena, 43 sena ilu twaqqaf għedina l-inizjattiva u ċertament minn hemm rajna kemm kien hawn żvilupp qawwi akademiku, żvilupp qawwi intellettwali u fl-istess waqt kien hawn ukoll strumenti li kull wieħed waħda minna, inkluż il-Parlament Malti, ikollu isaħħaħ fis-slim, fil-paċi, u li naħdmu għall-paċi dejjem fost il-ġnus. Jidilli, jekk minn is-sebaljat, korreġini Franz, l-ewwel laqgħa kienet fin 1989. Hawnhekk fil-Parlament Malti. Mela korretta hawnhekk fin 1989 kienet l-ewwel laqgħa u ovvjament l-għan ħari huwa li dejjem najnu l-studenti partiċipanti li jaħmu fl-imkien fl-spirtu ta' għada u fl-istess ħin hemm ukoll l-element importanti ta' proċess ta' demokrazija. Jiġifieri tista' ma taqbilx, l-importanti tagħmel l-argument, però mbagħad irid jirbaħ id-dritt tal-demokrazija, tal-maġġoranza, li jkun hemm il-ħsieb li kulħadd irid jimxi l quddiem anke jekk ma naqblux. Fl-istess ħin għandek il-parteċipazzjoni f'demokrazija fejn il-Parlament hawnhekk qed il-Parlament mhux biss jiġbor dawk id-deputati eletti fl-elezzjoni ħiesa, iżda hawnhekk ukoll irid ngħid li hawnhekk isir dibattitu wkoll wiesa' mhux bejn ir-rappreżentanti tal-poplu biss intkom eżempju sħiħ li qed isir hekk, imma anke isir dialog kostruttiv minn diversi għaddiet. Biex u jeddejem tejjeb il-proċess leġislattiv, il-programm ta' miqet jigverna u pjanijiet uħra ta' autoritajiet. Irrid ngħid ukoll illi kif jgħidu l-istess standing orders illum għandna u komitati tal-Kamra, jiġifieri il-Parlament barra li jiltaqa' Parlament, hemm komitati partikolari li trattaw suġġetti partikolari palmu l-ambjent, palmu l-edukazzjoni, palmu s-saħħa, palmu l-finanzi pubbliċi, palmu l-etika fil-ħajja pubblika, hemm diversi, għandna 17 il-komitat parlamentari, jiltaqa' anke matul is-sajf, kont nispjega il-Franza anke qed nintaqgħu bħalissa komitati, u allura dan huwa kollu parti intrinsiku mill-proċess legislattiv. Hawnhekk saru diversi inizjattivi, sa nsemmi pereżempju saru inizjattivi hawnhekk mill-pubbliku in ġenerali, jiġifieri jkun hawn ir-rappreżentant tal-poplu, Prim Ministru, Kap tal-Oppożizzjoni, Ministri, isaqsu direttament il-pubbliku jisaqsi direttament il-membri, il-rappreżentant tal-poplu, pereżempju fuq il-kwistjoni ta' droga, saret konferenza nazzjonali fuq droga hawnhekk. Kif għandha tkun ħajja ħielsa mid-droga. U xi jsir? Qed isir biżejjed? Flimkien biex ikonna dina l-direzzjoni ikonna soċjetà iktar nadifa, l-inklużjoni soċjali pereżempju ta' persuni mill-quta dak li ngħidulhom aħna invisible disabilities. Saret hawn ukoll. Konferenza organizzata fuq il-Premier Fibromyalgia, ecc. Kenna wkoll parlament ta' kulħadd. Jiġifieri inizjattiva bejn il-Kummissarju, uffiċjal Kummissarju ta' Disabilità, persuni ta' disabilità, u il-parlamentari. Ekkux qed indirizzaw lun stess kellna pereżempju artiklu fejn hemm problemi bit-tfal ta' persuni disabilità kemm qed jifaċċjaw problemi fil-ħajja kuljum. Għandek konferenza nazzjonali dwar l-artrite li saret ukoll fil-Parlament. U nista' nibqa' nsemmi violenza nazzjonali fuq violenza domestika. Xi ħaġa llum qiegħda ħaj in the agenda, li jkun hemm iktar awareness li kulħadd jitkellem fuq dan is-suġġett. Solidarità bejn il-ġenerazzjonijiet, dialogu bejn il-Kunsill Nazzjonali tal-Anzjani u l-Kunsill Nazzjonali taż-żgħażagħ, żgħażagħ ma' anzjani biex wieħed ikonna politika aktar illi tiftiem, eċċetera. M'hemm xi fejn noqgħod iżżemm l-ismijiet għaliex huma twil. Però niġu għas-suġġett. Is-suġġett huwa dwar l-immigrazzjoni illegali u irregolari, seħla trid, hija l-istorja tal-umanità, mhux issa, ma l-istorja minn dejjem kienet tajt, li turina li bniedem minn dejjem kellu l-karattru intrinsiku fih innifsu dwar li jirreaġixxi b'mod assolut għal sitwazzjoni jibsa. Persuna qed bagħti, persuna għadha minn problemi kbar pajjiża. Persuna li qed tiġi persegwitata, persuna li qed tkun tiġi violentata, trid futur aħjar. Titlaq minn pajjiż għal raġuni valida. Dik hija l-iktar ħaġa fundamentali għal fejn għandna din il-problema magħna. Però tant ikun verament iddisprat persuna meta jiddeċiedi jitlaq, illi da qed jitlaq minn post twridu. Jiġifieri qed jitlaq minn post fejn qed jemmen li bil-forsi jagħmel hekk biex isib ambjent aħjar biex jgħix ħajja aħjar b'mod dinjetuż. Allura l-argumentu huwa wieħed. Jekk persuna qed tagħmel dan kollu, fejn qed imur m'għandux jistenna illi jkun trattat differenti? Dan huwa argument li wieħed jista' jagħmel. Allura intenni li kull persuna magħna ċert tixtieq tgħix ħajja dinjetuża. Dak huwa il-punt li titlaq minnu. Venijiet għandhom obbligu, skont il-liġi internazzjonali, għandhom obbligu, li jipproteġu, li jħarsu, li jsostnu, li jikkuraw, li jirrispettaw id-dinjità tal-persuna magħna, kemm taċ-ċittadini tagħhom, però wkoll tal-oħrajn. Ma rridux ninsew li ġara meta spiċċat il-gwerra dinjija għaliex saru diversi atroċitajiet għaliex saru ksur ta' liġi internazzjonali mod lampanti, il-karta ta' ġnus maquda saret propju wara speċjal il-gwerra dinjija. Fejn għandek il-preambolu tal-karta ta' ġnus maquda tal-1945 li titkellem mod ċar dwar ħtieġa urġenti sabiex il-ġenerazzjonijiet tal-bnedmin, aħna u tawarajna, ma jkollomx u ma jkollomx li għaddu mid-batijiet li jġibu maħħom il-gwerer u l-violenza. Dak huwa punta tluq meta tkellimna, meta tkellmu l-antenati tagħna fuq il-karta tal-ġnus maqud ta' 1945. Fejn għandek allura rispett tal-drittijiet u libertajiet fundamentali bniedem, nitkellmu fuq human rights. Ma titkwalifikhom. L-obbligu ta' kull ta' drittijiet ta' kull persuna kemm irġiel u kif huwa nisa. Kem minn nazzjoni kbar u kem minn nazzjoni żgħar li jkunu mħarsa. Mhux għax ġej minn pajjiż bi jien għandi saħħa u jkolli privileġġi iktar għax ġej minn pajjiż żgħar. L-obbligu ta' kull stat li jħares it-trattati internazzjonali. Għalhekk isiru trattati biex ubbad kulħadd li joqgħod u jadarixxi magħhom. L-obbligu ta' kull stat li jippromovi l-progress soċjali. U allura dan kollu kien riżultat għax kellna dik il-problema kbira mondjali tal-aħħar gwerra. Imma b'dispjaċir nirrimarka li madwar id-dinja llum hemm numru kbir rispettivament minn dak li qed nitkellmu fuq ta' konflitti kbar reġjonali kif ukoll realtajiet ta' nuqqas ta' żvilupp uman li huma raġunijiet li waslu għal fejn individwi nies bħalna jiddeċiedu li jitilqu pajjiżhom. Allura dawn huma kollha raġunijiet għal fejn irdu nitkellmu fuqhom. Illum huwa stmat illi madwar id-dinja kollha hemm mal 258 miljun 258 miljun li huwa ekwivalenti għal 3% tal-popolazzjoni kollha tad-dinja li kollha huma meqjusa bħala emigrati jew displaced persons li jinsabu pajjiżi differenti. U x'inhu l-obbligu? L-obbligu tagħna huwa li jkun żball jekk ħidma sabiex tkun indirizzata il-problema tal-immigrazzjoni illegali, il-komunità internazzjonali, Malta inklusa, il-komunità internazzjonali, tonqos milli tikkonsidra b'mod effettiv il-kawża jew l-att ta' raġunijiet li waslu individwi sabiex iħallu pajjiżhom. Kemm mezzi legali u kemm mezzi illegali, dalli jaqsmu bid-dajjes, issa spiċċajna anke qed nitaraw jaqsmu bid-dajjes mix-xatta Franza għal Ingilterra, dit ukoll. Ġifieri dawn huma ukoll hemm dawn ir-raġunijiet. F'Jannar tas-sena l-oħra pereżempju, huwa stmat li fl-Ewropa għandna mal 21 miljun, kważi 22 miljun ta' immigranti li kienu fl-istati jew qegħdin fl-istati membri tal-Unjoni Ewropea. Malta inklusa. Dan huwa ekwivalenti għal 5% tal-popolazzjoni kollha tal-Unjoni Ewropea. Qed nagħti din l-istatistika biex wieħed jifhem il-profondità u jidħol fis-suġġett anke biex wieħed jindirizza l-affarijiet b'mod anke xjentifikament ikun korrett. Għalhekk inkunu żbaljati jekk ma nagħtux is-sem tagħna u ma nittrattawx dan is-suġġett bħala problema umanitarja. Jien ma xinu aktar ħafna ħin, jien nara fuq koll illi anka l-influss f'pajjiżna u f'pajjiż oħra Ewropej jista' jkun hemm u hemm sezzjoni anka mill-popolazzjoni ta' pajjiżna illi min jabbuża mill-intenzjoni retta ta' dawk il-popli Ewropej, Malta inklusa, li tassew qed jagħtu kontribut tagħhom kbira jew żgħira. Irdu nifhmu li anka f'dan l-aspett nisħaq fuq il-kollaborazzjoni li tittibqa' tkun waħda dejjem kontinwa, li l-Ewropa tittifhem li din hija problema ta' kulħadd, ta' kull membru, anke dawk li mhumiex qegħdin fl-iktar punt li jistgħu jirċievu migranti, imma qegħdi hija parti mill-problema Ewropea. U allura il-gvernijiet Ewropej u l-Ewropa inklusa aħna l-klus li konna dejjem l-intenzjoni tajba li nibqgħu naħmu fuq li jkun hemm indirizz kollettiv u koordinat. U allura ntenni li l-kriżi umanitarja ċertament teħtieġ li tkun trattata bl-aktar mod wiesa kemm bħala politika Ewropea, kemm fl-iżvilupp uman, kif ukoll diversi kontesti oħra bħal politika barranija u s-sigurta tal-Europa u anka fil-ġus maħuda. Dan ifisser impenn sħiħ ta' kull wieħed waħda minna inkom inkluż u konsistenti biex dan is-suġġett verament jiġi indirizzat fl-aħjar interess ta' soċjetà ta' kulħadd. Fis-sliem u fil-paċi fost iġus. Jien ringrazzjakom, ringrazzjakom li smajtu l-introduzzjoni tiegħi għal suġġett u sa immur mill-ewwel ħalli nimxu mal-running order li għandna u nsejjaħ il-Sir Francis Tivara.
Grazie, Sir President. Chairman of the final session of the NSDF Mini European Assembly, Chairman of the Panel of Judges, student delegates, and distinguished guests. FISM National Student Travel Foundation, Neringraziak, Onorevoli Angelo Farrugia, li bil-qalb accettajt li tiftaħ din is-sessjoni finali tal-NSDF Mini European Assembly f'dan id-dar tal-Parlament Malti u bekk iġġeddet it-tradizzjoni ta' 31 sena minn meta l-ispika ta' qablek fetaħ għal din il-Kamra għall-ewwel darba għal sezzjoni mhux tad-deputati eletti. B'rispett lejn din il-Kamra tal-Parlament Malti u b'onur kbir illum li qed tilqa' fiħdana din l-Assemblea ta' studenti u żgħażagħ Maltin, bil-permess ġentili tiegħek, Mr. Speaker, żgħażewġ naħadd tal-Kamra. Nitolbok biex ġala tarba din l-Assemblea mmexxija fuq proċeduri internazzjonali minn issa l qudiem id-proċeduri u dibattiti f'din l-Assemblea tal-istudenti universitari u tal-iskejjel għolja Maltin jitmexxew bl-ilsin Ingliż u fejn ikun hemm meħtieġ ukoll bl-ilsin Malti. Grazie, Sir Speaker. By his kind acceptance, Mr. Speaker also demonstrates his appreciation at that which this Assembly offers in preparing students for public life, for top executive posts and European affairs, and looks ahead to welcoming deputies trained in parliamentary procedures, in negotiations and in compromise. I welcome you, student delegates, to your last session, which will seal this year's edition and declare you the final winners, being those who excelled throughout all the sessions. The concept of competition is motivational and is to remain so even after this afternoon's session. For each one of you is a winner in having achieved a higher level of self-confidence, a higher level of initiative and self-awareness, in nurturing your soft skills, in developing your personality to positively assume roles of leadership and responsibility, thereby contributing in no small manner to the sustainability and well-being of the Maltese society. Never before in the life of this mini European Assembly were these attributes more permanent as we follow the aspirations of so many peoples throughout the world seeking just and representative leaders. And here is what the Honourable Angelo Farrugia also made a reference to. Compounded today by the ailments and hardships that this pandemic causes worldwide. We live through telling times, which forecast the need for well-prepared and knowledgeable leaders with strong values of moral justice. Coronavirus, in this regard, presents you with a challenge that disrupted your regular proceedings, but you are here today, demonstrating your preparedness to face the difficult times for which I congratulate you. We learn that our supremacy is subject to natural causes, no matter how minute these are as a virus. And we are to accept this with humility for us to forge ahead. A few hours ago, you were presented with today's topic, illegal migration, burden or opportunity. A subject that research recently showed is a matter of high concern among us Maltese. This was in a survey carried out by Moscow, only published last Sunday. So it is exceedingly topic even with us. Migration is also of concern to each other European member state, as witnessed by the long years of impasse to affront and tackle the mammoth task of reality of this situation. We'd like to see more conclusions reached. People aspire to a better living, to improving their life conditions, and to live freely and happily. One would therefore ask, what will the economic and employment conditions of Europe be as a result of coronavirus? Will the physiognomy of Europe remain as attractive to migrants? Will coronavirus be the catalyst to address this phenomenon and lead a pathway to the much-desired resolution? You are here representing your countries. You research their position on the topic, and as such are in a better position to address these questions and render a better future to yourselves. Finally, I would like to assure you that NSDF will honour its commitment to award the prize store to the seats of Europe in Strasbourg and Brussels, as established, to the winning teams, but this too is subject to rescheduling. It's normally held in July. We are in August. Therefore, I will not take more of your time to commence proceedings. I thank once again Mr. Speaker for dedicating his time to you, students, and to hosting us here today, and kindly invite him to proceed with the session. Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you.
Thank you very much. On the reading of the resolution.
Gianluca.
Okay, het is het omhoogte er aan.
Section 1, Burden Sharing, an Essential Requisite for European Integrity. 1.1, Request an Increase in Support to the EU's Neighbouring Countries. 1.1.1, Proposes that such support consists of initiatives such as but not limited to controlled investment in the local market, economic stimulus packages, consultancy at each level of government, supporting a gradual mirroring of monetary policy. 1.2 calls upon the determination of several levels of assistance, monetary or materially, in order to facilitate determination of the magnitude of assistance required temporarily by European countries or its neighbours. 1.3 realizes the reality that countries bordering the Mediterranean Sea find themselves overwhelmed in face of the migrant crisis and simultaneously are finding little to no help from fellow European regions. 1.3.1 declares that the founding core principle of burden sharing is to be safeguarded and seen to be safeguarded consistently as long as the Council stands. 1.3.2 mandates the Council to delegate enforcement of principles such as but not limited to burden sharing as a binding spirit. 1.3.3 recommends that the process of redistribution should not be delayed by more than a month from the arrival of the migrants to their designated country in a secure and ethical manner. ...1.3.4 ensures that asylum seekers within the same family are designated to the same nation. 1.3.5 declares that any refugee with underlying health conditions or severe injuries is to receive full medical attention, no less than any other citizen would receive. 1.4 recognizes the copious process of integration of immigrants into a foreign country and the hardships associated with finding a stable income and a permanent residence. 1.4.1 recommends the assignment of adequate temporary housing for the illegal immigrants as their identification documents are being processed. 1.4.2 ensures that assigned temporary housing should include a room assigned to each person, unless the immigrants specifically ask to share the dormitories with one another for a maximum grace period of 5 years. 1.4.3 encourages governments to provide or sponsor courses aimed at migrants with the goal of better integrating within the local society through language and cultural learning. 1.4.4 calls upon the state to also provide study programs aimed to teach various skills which would allow these migrants to more easily find jobs within the local ministries, within the local industries. 1.4.5 demands the immediate commencement of free language classes for those asylum seekers whose application is currently being processed or those refugees living within a particular territory which will be easily accessible. 1.4.6 explains that the scheme will operate on two different levels for refugees and asylum seekers. Anyone over the age of 18, whether the person concerned is a refugee or an asylum seeker with a refugee application, can choose not to take the class. The children under the age of 18 of refugees must take the language classes as part of their compulsory education. 1.5 deeply conscious about the fact that in most cases, populism in the past has done nothing but led mankind into writing the worst chapters of human history. 1.5.1 calls upon all states to safeguard their people from such events ever happening again by guaranteeing freedom for their people and the press, providing a strong educational framework that brings about well-informed citizens and by facilitating the citizens' access to truthful information. 1.6 fully aware of the rise of populist movements and or parties within several contemporary democracies throughout Europe and beyond. 1.6.1 condemns any attempts made by governments to take action against such movements with unfounded reason except for the removal of a proportion of the electorate that could potentially pose a threat to its position in government. Close here.
Thank you very much. It's an unusual intervention, so I say hello to the intervention of the delegation Italiana. I say hello to Mr. Zarp Piccione.
Thank you for the floor, Mr. Speaker. My name is Liam Zarp Piccione, and on behalf of the Italian delegation, I shall give the speech regarding the topic of migration. Migration has been at the center of European politics for years, and it has essentially become Europe's Achilles heel, with many of its member states disagreeing on its various policies. It is due to this discord that Italy has decided to prioritize its citizens, placing high regard for its safety and their quality of living through its many economic policies. However, Italy is at the heart of the Mediterranean and as such very enticing for migrants. But we have long surpassed our intake limit with little help from European policy due to the aforementioned discord. This resulted in a huge increase in xenophobia and disdain for migration. As a result, forcing the government's hand to implement stricter regulations and as well led to Italy temporarily closing its borders. However, we have not forgotten the people within our borders and have instituted many programs in order to integrate migrants into our culture. Such programs include a 55 billion euro package aimed to accommodate 560,000 migrants without any form of documentation, with the aim of giving them a work permit and ultimately a satisfactory quality of life. We also have implemented other programs, such as language classes for migrants, in order to foster integration. However, we must not forget that this is no Italian issue, but rather a European one. And we must help others without hurting ourselves. We look forward to more international cooperation. Thank you.
Ringraziak, San Seja, il rappresentante della delegazione maltese, Andrew Bellezzi.
Thank you for the floor, Mr. Chairperson, Andrew Bellezzi, on behalf of the Maltese delegation. Malta started experiencing the consequences of illegal immigration as from the 1990s and has been suffering ever since. Being situated in the middle of the Mediterranean, it has been constantly burdened with huge influxes of immigrants fleeing from the poor countries of Africa. The Maltese islands have a total of 316 square kilometers. Around 440,000 inhabitants live on the islands, making Malta one of the most densely populated countries in Europe, with 1,562 people per square kilometer. Malta, from suffering from overcrowdedness, has problems relating to resource shortage. The regular influx of illegal immigrants is only worsening the problem and is increasing the burdens of the Maltese government and general public alike. In 2018, a Eurobarometer survey revealed that 63% think that immigration is more of a problem than an opportunity. 75% of Maltese citizens consider immigrants as a burden on their welfare system, and 79% think that immigrants worsen the crime problem in their country. 63% of Maltese citizens think that immigrants take away jobs from native workers. Even though Malta has successfully given immigrants work in the past years, we are now currently suffering from an increasing unemployment rate. Arrivals of immigrants in Malta has surged in 2020, with around 1,500 people entering as of early March, compared to a total of 3,400 in 2019. The Maltese government wrote to the EU Commission saying it cannot guarantee safety to migrants or resources for mass rescues, and added that it would be closing to its ports to all illegal immigrants. Chris Fearn later on appealed to the EU Member of States for help and cooperation on illegal immigration, stating that such challenges cannot be carried by a single country or by very few nations, especially countries which already have strained health systems due to the crisis, stating, "While we believe that nobody should be allowed to die, now is time for full cooperation between the Member States." Since there was no cooperation, the Maltese government has made an agreement with Libya stating that Malta will finance migration coordination centres in Tripoli and Valletta. The funding would help in securing Libya's southern borders, as well as the provision of necessary technologies for border control and protection. It would also be supporting the dismantling of human trafficking networks. Despite all of this, what is to be done about the illegal immigration phenomenon does not depend on Malta alone, but on large and powerful countries and on intergovernmental organizations such as the United Nations and the European Union. Thank you.
Grazie. Sanna, mettiamo ci osservazioni, abbiamo ci domande del Zeo Speaker Salaf Kenna. Io ho l'idea o... Ivo?
Thank you for the floor, Mr. Chairperson. My name is Timothy Vella on behalf of the UK delegation. And our question is for the Italian delegation. Italy is notorious for having several of its immigrant centres completely overflown with immigrants. And this has created several problems when it comes to the allocation of resources per immigrant in these centres. This is a prime example in Lampedusa. And this has obviously negatively affected the lives of each immigrant. So my question is, what does the Italian government plan to do to improve the lives of these immigrants in these centers? Thank you very much.
Io domando a Harang. Rispondi? Hai rispondi? Hai rispondi? L'Italia.
Thank you for the floor, Mr. Speaker. Regarding the well-being of the Benjamin Bujay on behalf of the Italian delegation, regarding the lives of the overpopulated camps in Lampedusa, the Italian government has implemented €55 billion, which are aimed to give these workers, give these migrants work permits and permits so that they can improve their lives in Italy. Thank you.
Ivana, domanda ora che sei con mi itkellem jatismu kol jomu, but jam il domanda jom l'osservazioni.
I am Kaylee Grek on behalf of the Maltese delegation. Thank you for the floor, Mr. Chairman. We have a question for Italy asking what is Italy doing to deal with the xenophobia. Thank you.
Ivan, mi hai rispondi?
Thank you for the floor, Mr. Speaker. My name is Limzar Peccione, and on behalf of the Italian delegation, I shall respond to their question. In order to curb the problem of xenophobia, our prime method of combating this is through education. You see, this is a very, very hard problem to deal with, as it enters the deepest roots of our society. Through this, we must target the youth in order to encourage them to adopt a different mindset, as well as implementing more migrants into our economy. As these migrants become more and more common, this will entice others to, in a sort of sense, make them feel more regular due to the amount that there are. Of course, once again, we do prioritize Italian sovereignty as well as culture first. However, if we manage to integrate these peoples into our culture, then xenophobia should not be a problem, as they will be first and foremost Italian. Thank you.
Grazie. Altre domande?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Amy Kalea speaking on behalf of the Macedonian delegation. We have a question for the Italian delegation. Our question is that in your speech you said that you are facing a very big problem due to lack of help faced by other European countries. Our question for you is, if Europe continues to provide little support, are you willing to close your borders on a more permanent basis regarding the human impact faced by migrants? Thank you.
Eva?
Thank you for the floor, Mr. Speaker. My name is Limzar Peccione, and on behalf of the Italian delegation, I shall respond to their question. The scenario you have mentioned is quite a hypothetical one. Although possible, Italy firstly aims to help the migrants that are currently on our borders. Once these people have reached a satisfactory quality of life, we will plan on adding more migrants to our society. However, if a crisis on such a scale that Italy is unable to deal with them, this is a scenario that is on the table. However, it is quite unlikely. Thank you.
Thank you for the floor. This is Haley on behalf of the Albanian delegation. Haley Chantar. Legislation is an important aspect to consider. This question is for Malta, by the way, sorry. Legislation is an important aspect to consider, especially to prevent xenophobic acts. Chapter 9 of the laws of Malta, the Criminal Code, Article 82A, claims that anyone who uses threatening, abusive or insulting words or behavior, whether on social media, vis-a-vis or otherwise, are liable for imprisonment, which is between 6 to 18 months. Yet, according to the Sunday Times,
Maltese citizens were threatening illegal immigrants, telling them, as quoted, go back to your country. Thus, the article in the criminal code is not fulfilled. May you please elaborate? Thank you.
Italia, ti rispondi? Mi lasciate osservazioni? Ok. Mi vuoi un che Germania?
Thank you for the floor. This is Yves Borgonello on behalf of the Federal Republic of Germany. We have a question for the Italian delegation. The package mentioned in the speech was actually opposed by the Five Star Movement. This provided a pass to legal residency, which provides health care and social services. Rather letting xenophobes, as you said, force the government's hand into human rights abuses, what can the government, what is the Italian government doing to educate its people and to reduce this xenophobia? Because at the end of the day, many of the current proposed Italian legislation has been criticized by the UN itself as a human rights abuse. Thank you.
Delegazione Maltia, mi ci rispondi?
The Italian.
Italia, ok. Tal Maltia ti risponde di tal Albania.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. I'm Justine Falzon speaking on behalf of the Maltese delegation. The Jesuit Refugee Service in Malta seeks to accompany, serve and defend the rights of asylum seekers and forcibly displaced persons who arrive in Malta. Each arrival's story bears witness to traumatized, disrupted past, but also to a remarkable who will survive against all odds.
Grazie. Italia.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm Benjamin Bojay on behalf of the Italian delegation. Regarding xenophobia, the main problem in xenophobia is communication. Therefore, migrants are given the opportunity with this package so that they can learn Italian and other languages that can help them communicate better with the society of Italy. Thank you.
Ivan Sehalilek.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My name is Sean Farrugia on behalf of the French delegation, and I'm going to direct this question towards the Italian delegation. In one of your previous answers, you stated that you would like for illegal immigrants to integrate more with the general Italian population. However, how do you plan on doing so? Thank you.
Ivan.
Thank you for the floor, Mr. Speaker. My name is Liam Zarpiccio, and on behalf of the Italian delegation, I shall respond to their question. As mentioned previously in the speech, our main aim to accomplish this is through language classes, which help migrants to integrate into Italian society, as well as the previously mentioned €55 billion package, which helps migrants set up roots in Italy without causing a lot of disruption. Thank you.
Edin Bahai Chedjul, Kemisteku, Balik Domondohan. Yes. Okay.
Thank you for the floor, Mr. Speaker. I am Elsa Bonello, and I will be speaking on behalf of the Albanian delegation. I would like to ask this question to the Maltese delegation. It's a known fact that Maltese waters are easily reached by immigrants risking their lives with the hopes of improving their life quality away from danger. Whereas it can be argued that these people can be an asset for the economy, it is also true that Malta, given its limited resources due to size among others, cannot accommodate the needs of these human beings. Why does it occur that certain European countries remain reluctant to offer a helping hand when they have the resources and means to do so? And why does the Maltese government constantly cite its economic prowess in order to gain whatever it can from European nations, only to move back on the claim and play victim the moment they have a weight to bear? Thank you.
Ivan Malta.
Thank you for the floor, Mr. Chairperson. I am Christine Mitzi on behalf of the Maltese delegation. As you said yourself, you kind of answered your own question, because whenever we seek help, most European countries, as you said, are reluctant to help. So that isn't really our fault if they as well can't help us. And as you said as well, our resources are very limited, so we can help as much as we can. As we said, we did Jesuit refugee services, and we help with English, and we try and integrate them. But as you said as well, our country is, you know, small, as we all know, and so we can only do what we can do. And the other European countries, we have nothing really that we can do in order to make them help us. Thank you.
Thank you for the floor, Mr. Speaker. I'm Malcolm Muscat on behalf of the Italian delegation. My question is directed to the Maltese delegation. How does Malta plan to cope with the influx of illegal immigrants?
Grazie. Issa nimxu għall-intervention li għandna minnaħa ta' delegazzjoni ta' Ingilterra, Sir Timothy Vella.
Thank you for the floor, Mr. Chairperson. My name is Timothy Vella on behalf of the UK delegation. Our government plans to transform this country, the UK, into a citadel of science, innovation and blue sky technological research. Central to that vision, according to a foreword by Business Secretary Alok Sharma, is making the UK the very best place in the world to be a researcher, innovator and inventor. Yes, in the wake of Brexit, the country is now eager to open its doors to foreigners. In other words, non-EU migrants as well. Of course, the UK decided to shift its focus beyond Europe. Immigration from non-EU countries has actually increased since the 2016 referendum, and due mostly to current visa requirements, a large proportion of people coming into the UK, from Asia for example, have high-skilled jobs. 45% of Indian migrants hold high-skilled positions in the UK. We have done and continue to plan on doing so with our point-based immigration system that we have adopted. A points-based system can help lower immigration rates and ensure that immigrants who do come are highly skilled and less likely to need public assistance. Michael Gove claimed in 2016 that the point-based immigration system is fair to everyone, noting that Britain already operates such a scheme for non-EU migrants back in 2016. One of the major advantages of the system is that it is largely transparent, as potential applicants can review the selection criteria to determine whether they may be able to attain sufficient points to reach the pass mark of 6 to 7 points. We will reduce immigration overall while being more open and flexible to the highly skilled people we need, such as scientists, innovators and doctors. Therefore, it allows our Conservative government to maintain our promises. The government has now introduced a global talent scheme which allows highly skilled scientists and researchers to come to the UK even without a job offer. These researchers' families will have full access to the labour market. The researchers' families will as well be given a lot of accommodation and a lot of resources. When considering our visa scheme, it is a fast-track visa scheme showing that the government focuses heavily on science and innovation. We cannot treat this problem, however, as a national problem, because treating it as a national problem is something that has plagued the UN and the EU for decades. The UK doesn't focus on trading problems with other countries. It focuses on solving these problems for good. Why is Brexit happening? For international purposes. What have we done with our immigration policy? We have internationalized it. That is the goal of the UK. This problem demands an innovative form of thinking that cannot be done if we treat this problem as a country-based problem. Brexit may be happening, but this problem forces us to break these institutional barriers that separate us. Today, my delegation would like to ask all of you about how we can discover a new method on how we will be able to aid each other in this problem. Therefore, the motto for this meeting should be one world, one problem. We cannot treat it as if we are all collapsing countries. Thank you.
Grazie. Delegazione tal-Albania, Hayley Chantar.
Thank you for the floor. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairperson, Mr. Speaker, judges, distinguished guests and my fellow delegates. I am Hayley Chantar and I shall be speaking on behalf of the Albanian delegation. Dear fellow delegates, I have a question for you today. Do you believe it is possible to eliminate all xenophobia worldwide in the real world? The simple answer is no. We cannot eliminate this, as our human instinct is to judge. Upon seeing someone or something, we judge subconsciously whether they are safe or unsafe as a method of survival.
But we have come here to find a common ground and change the way things work, and hopefully not to view illegal immigration as a burden, but as an opportunity to save a life, a family, a community. As Section 2, Clause 4 in the resolution states, we must continue to ensure the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. Freedom of expression and freedom from discrimination are both basic human rights, and it is important not to let them collide, which brings about the right to a free and fair world. Albania firmly believes that as nations, we must teach our citizens jointly how to foster these rights simultaneously to mitigate the issues of xenophobia, racism and discrimination, especially towards illegal immigrants. Even though Albania is not yet in the EU state, as it has been on the waiting list since 2009, Albanian citizens nevertheless welcome all kinds of diversity. We have one, Germany. Angela Merkel had an open-door policy, which she had to fall back on. Why? Because many citizens felt attacked and had to go back on it. 4 votes. Unbelievable, right? Additionally, we have 2, France. Like it cannot get any worse. A push by President Emmanuel Macron to harden its immigration policies and, as quoted, to reduce the invasion of foreign foreigners, which has alarmed human rights groups and confused the left wing of his own centrist La République En Marche party. So much so that we can see immigrants flying off of the coast of France into the UK. So what really is the criteria for EU member states if the EU states aren't fully welcoming of illegal immigrants? When I first heard this, I thought it was a joke. It is indeed reality, unfortunately, very hypocritical, if you tell me. Nonetheless, Albania, not even an EU member state, still agreed to sign the convention for providing migrants with not only food, but also pocket money. This is not easy for Albania, as it is a developing country. We are trying our best with the resources we have. In order to reach a fair and just resolution, we must try as much as possible to focus on all states within the European border, without a continuous specific emphasis on the EU member states. Foreign citizens residing in Albania bear the same civil, administrative and penal responsibilities as Albanian citizens, hence welcoming diversity within the Albanian borders, treating them as equal, unless otherwise provided for a special law or an international agreement to which the Republic of Albania is a party. IOM, International Organization for Migration, has been operationally present in Albania since 1992. And is a member of the United Nations country team in Albania. Since IOM has become one of the main international partners of the government of Albania, supporting its continuous progress and efforts migration management in line with Albania's priority of European Union immigration and also the integration. On the other hand, Albanian immigrants have found themselves being characterized as criminals, dangerous, cunning, untrustworthy, in Italy, Greece and beyond. And the list goes on. Delegates, does this sound just? Progress is impossible without change. Albania, together with multiple NGOs, as well as the IOM, is implementing change and doing its utmost to mitigate all impacts and continuing to welcome diversity. That is why the Albanian delegation encourages that together with the other nations, now more than ever, we educate our citizens jointly on this matter and pass policies. Now is the time that we do not think as EU member states, but as European states, global states, as states that act when required, as states that will leave a positive change and influence other global nations to do likewise. Together, and only together, we can thrive.
Concluding.
Thank you.
Grazie. Mela, issa nsejjaħ il-rappresentanti ta' delegazzjoni ta' Franza, nsejjaħ Julien Vella.
Thank you for the floor, Mr. Speaker. My name is Julien Vella on behalf of the French delegation. France deals with illegal immigration through unity and diversity. Illegal immigration is of importance and significance to us. According to our President Emmanuel Macron, we believe that we cannot host everyone if we want to host people well. In 2018, we adopted a law on controlled immigration. Our migration policy focuses on controlling migratory flows ensuring right of asylum is fully effective by improving processing of applications and implementing a credible and effective policy on illegal immigration and deportation. We also trust in a unified approach through European solidarity. In alliance with Italy, we have agreed upon the distribution of migrants. We are ready to agree upon an automatic redistribution system to reduce waiting times and handle first entry arrivals effectively. As a country, we reach our people with migration backgrounds through social programming that addresses needs of the general French population. We are focused on integration initiatives in three key areas: education, employment, and social cohesion. In order to achieve integration, we must be willing to integrate. We believe this can be done by national discourse and consideration of the burdens of immigration on society, as reflected in our amendment. In 2018, we have doubled the number of French lessons we offer to illegal immigrants. We also have doubled the hours of the civic training courses given to refugees, designed to explain French values and as well as practicalities. This investment contributes to our national and social cohesion. To aid refugees seeking employment, the Acceler program offers individual support for the search for accommodation, job and vocational training to newly recognized refugees. Last May, we also passed a law against hate speech that bans xenophobic and racism content on social media. We also believe in the need of a new international grammar, that is, a new system and structure of international relations, to fight against the events that might encourage illegal immigration. In fact, after the explosion in Lebanon, Macron visited Beirut to show his support and pledged health equipment and doctors. In conclusion, we believe that when handled well, the possible burden of illegal immigration can be turned into an opportunity for everyone. United we stand, divided we fall. Thank you.
Grazie. Issa għanna ħin għal osservazzjoni jew domandi. U jħu l-ewwel. Għidismek u kuljomu u għamil osservazzjoni tiegħek.
Thank you for the floor, Mr. Speaker. Mariana Pach on behalf of the UK delegation. My question is directed to the French delegation. The French delegation, the French delegate in reality, has claimed that they want to work together to fight illegal immigration. But what I want to ask, isn't it hypocritical that the French government is actually funding Khalifa Haftar, which is causing leading a war in Libya, destabilizing it, causing many immigrants and many citizens to flee Libya, and they are standing here telling us that they want to internationally help when they are causing part of the problem and the destabilization of Libya. Thank you.
Eva, Franca.
Thank you for the floor, Mr. Speaker. My name is Julianne Vell on behalf of the French delegation, and I will be answering the UK's question. It is to our belief that we should work towards international collaboration through European sovereignty to solve the burdens of illegal immigration. We spoke about preventing the effect that might trigger it, not necessarily why we should fight against immigration, but fight against the events that trigger illegal immigration to international coordination. Thank you.
Domanda ora. Talia.
Thank you for the floor, Mr. Speaker. My name is Diana Busatil, and I will be speaking on behalf of the Italian delegation. I would like to address a question to the French delegation. So on May 20, 2019, it was reported that illegal immigrants shut down one terminal of Francis Charles de Gaulle Airport in a massive protest. The protest was organized by the migrant support group La Chapelle des Bottes, which said its members call themselves Black Vests. What is the government trying to do in order to ensure that massive protests like these do not occur whilst at the same time safeguarding our rights of citizens. Thank you.
Eva Franza.
Thank you for the floor, Speaker. I'm Gaetano Giusto on behalf of the French delegation. I will be responding to the Italian delegation's question. The French government recognizes these problems intrinsically within France and the this unrest within France. We propose that education is the way to meet the worries of the migrant population. For example, when it comes to the education of minors mentioned in my colleague's speech, and as well as job opportunities for migrants over 18. Thank you.
Commander Labania.
Thank you for the floor, Mr. Speaker. And my question is directed to the UK delegation. So, since the Brexit movement will inevitably bring less migrants to the UK, what do you plan to do in order to help the European Union with its influx, obviously, of new migrants, since less migrants will be attracted to the UK? Thank you.
Eva, Inghilterra.
Thank you for the floor, Mr. Chairperson. My name is Timothy Vella on behalf of the UK delegation, and I'll be responding to the Albanian delegate's question. I would tend to disagree, and I would argue that Brexit actually will allow us to gain more immigrants, because we will be internationalising our immigration policy and allowing more non-EU migrants to enter our country. I believe that in life there are always these dissident voices that try to create gloom without responsibility and try to oppose every argument without reason, and I believe that this is the case over here. Brexit is definitely not affecting our immigration policy. In fact, it is improving it. Thank you.
Germania.
Should I start over? Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm Amy Mali on behalf of the German delegation, and I would like to direct my question towards the Albanian delegation. The Albanian delegate mentioned in her speech that Albania views migration as an opportunity and that it welcomes migrants and also provides them with food and a pocket money. However, Germany would like Albania to clarify, given that there are these issues which Germany has found. Albania is not in line with the international standards required in terms of its migration policy. Migrants are turning to begging and theft to sustain themselves, given that the pocket money which the Albanian government provides them with is only €2.60 per day, and that law enforcement officials have also been caught calling migrants and chanting towards them no asylum in Albania. Does this hint at institutional racism being entrenched within Albania? Thank you.
Albania.
Thank you for the floor, Mr. Speaker. So I would like to answer the German delegation's, Martea, the German delegation's question. And yes, Albania is giving a mere €2.60 to these migrants. But €2.60 for Albania isn't €2.60 for a big country like France or Germany, perhaps. €2.60 for Albania is a lot, because Albania is still a developing country. When you consider that Albania is doing a lot for these migrants, when it doesn't have a lot for the country itself, it's doing more relatively than big countries such as Germany or France, etc. Thank you.
Eva.
Thank you for the floor, Mr. Speaker. I am Michael Gutt speaking on behalf of the French delegation, and I would like to direct my question to the United Kingdom's delegation. Will you still be aiding the redistribution efforts of joint solidarity European-wide post-Brexit? Thank you.
UK.
Thank you for the floor, Mr. Speaker. Mariana Poch, on behalf of the UK delegation, I will be answering the French delegate's query. Post-Brexit, after we get out of the binding contract we have with the EU, we will be creating a new law, a flexible law, where we will be aiding in also taking back immigrants and from the United Kingdom, if needs be, and helping to redistribute around the country. But obviously, we are more focused on actually seeing from where the immigrants are coming and actually solving that issue for the whole of Europe and not just for the UK only. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson, for the floor. I am Saskia Kasengen on behalf of the Maltese delegation. My question is to Albania. Albania stated on a national level in the end of 2019 that the local Caritas staff have been controlling the immigration situation by providing basic services, yet just a couple months later, multiple registered asylum seekers are now being left hungry and frightened in state-run facilities. What is Albania doing to once again combat the seemingly reoccurring problem? Thank you for the floor.
Albania.
Thank you for the floor, Mr. Chairperson. This is Hayley Chantar speaking on behalf of the Albanian delegation. As mentioned in the speech, Albania provides not only food, but also pocket money. Thus, food is provided to all immigrants. Also, it is important to mention that this is not easy for Albania due to the limited amount of resources, especially it being still a developing country. Obviously, none of the nations are perfect. And also, it is important to note that on social media there is also false information and false news, so it is important to also be sure where to get the information. And this is just as general note, not to Malta. Thank you.
Italia.
Thank you for the floor, Mr. Speaker. I'm Carla Privitera. I'll be speaking on behalf of the Italian delegation. My question is for the UK. Despite the UK signing international policies to safeguard asylum seekers, the UK in practice refuses asylum seekers. So what is the future policy for asylum seekers? Do you plan to welcome them? Thank you.
Riva. Inghilterra.
Thank you for the floor. I am Jeremy Vella on behalf of the UK delegation. Currently, the laws are in favour of asylum seekers. When immigrants fled from the coast of France to the UK, we could not simply just deport them immediately because of laws that are in place that protect them. In the future, the UK's plan is to eliminate many of these laws and ensure that only skilled immigrants enter the country. Thank you.
See.
Thank you for the floor, Mr. Speaker. Eleanor Formosa on behalf of the North Macedonian delegation. My question is for the United Kingdom. How does the delegation of the United Kingdom plan to tackle the urgent matter of migration when there is an evident lack of agreement on how the situation may be tackled between the government parties? Thank you.
Thank you for the floor, Mr. Chairperson. My name is Timothy Villa on behalf of the UK delegation. What we have adopted in the UK is a system of meritocracy, where you gain based on your merits. That is what the point-based immigration system is. It is a clear, strict criteria that is transparent to everyone and fair to everyone. It isn't fluid like many EU countries. Take Malta, for example. At this point, you basically have to flip a coin to pray you get accepted into the country. And it's ridiculous. In the UK, we have this strong system that will not change no matter what. You get 6 or 7 points, you go in. If you don't, you won't go in. It's as simple as that. Thank you very much.
Grazie. Buona osservazione tocca. Eva. Marta.
Thank you for the floor, Mr. Chairperson. Andrew Bellissa from behalf of the Maltese delegation. My question is directed to the UK delegation. On 9 December 2019, The Independent reported that UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson faces backlash on claims of racism. after saying migrants should not treat the UK as their own. What are your views on this, as UK delegates? Thank you.
UK delegation.
Thank you for the floor. Jeremy Vella on behalf of the UK delegation. Maybe the Independent chose to call it racist, but that is consistent with the views of the United Kingdom's government, that the United Kingdom is not just for anyone. It is for people who want to work for our country. And now we adopt this position in view of an increasingly polarized Europe, and we believe that if we do this, at least we will slow down polarization, we will reduce racial tension, and in the long run, it will be beneficial for the entire world. Thank you.
ماش فلاشك تا هل نمشو نحسب فأه أوكي في الأسر.
Thank you for the floor, Mr. Chairperson. I have a question for the Albanian. I'm Claire Kale on behalf of the North Macedonian delegation. I have a question for the Albanian delegation. A study carried out by the committee expert highlighted some issues talking about immigration in Albania, such as the absence of criminalization of racist organizations and Roma ethnic profiling by the police. Considering these issues, what is Albania doing to tackle immigration against immigrants? Thank you.
Rima, Albania. Okay, say Ujarat from Albania. Albania.
Would the North Macedonian delegation please emphasize the point of their question, please? Thank you.
Grazie. Mela, nimxu bissa għal kelli marimis. Unsejjaħ il-membru della delegazzjoni mill Germania. You go the floor.
Thank you for the floor, Mr. Speaker. I am Yves Borgbonello, delegate on behalf of the Federal Republic of Germany. In the words of Chancellor Angela Merkel, immigration could be a make-or-break issue for the EU and international relations as we know it. Germany is stepping up with ambition and consideration for fundamental human rights for every refugee, European citizen and beyond. This is shown clearly through the fact in just 1 year, at the height of the Syrian civil war and the consequential refugee crisis, Germany took in 1.5 million refugees and saved the lives of many vulnerable people in great need, fleeing persecution. Germany recognises that immigration creates opportunities and issues, large and small, from international collaborators to an immigrant need within their community. Hence, Germany has developed policies to promote optimising individual support provided to young migrants, improving the recognition of foreign degrees, increasing the share of migrants in civil service of federal and state governments, as well as providing healthcare and education through language courses, civic education and vocational training. We express a profound need for European solidarity, as we recognise that immigration does not come without its issues and affects different countries and their economies and societies in very different ways. With that being said, we cannot expect to preach to under-resourced countries on the front lines of this crisis or expect them to manage the large number of arrivals on their own. The legislation we have in place on a European level was drafted decades ago, in a very different demographic, political landscape. We need bold, drastic change, and this can only be done by listening to all stakeholders in this debate. This includes positions on the fringe, which we have many fundamental disagreements. However, we must recognise that alienating extremes will simply serve to alienate many more and cause these views to fester and go unanswered. As liberal democratic states, we have a responsibility to listen and to serve as a voice for all in society. Henceforth, as a German delegation, we have proposed legislation fit for the 21st century that takes into account inequalities between countries and provides adequate burden sharing. That is, we can never lose sight of the fact that these are vulnerable human beings and not simply political burdens. In order to serve both national interests and the needs of these people, we need a system that effectively diagnoses these issues. Hence, our starting point is the necessity for accurate data. We must connect data on countries of origins, skills and requirements so that no one falls between the cracks in our system. Germany is committed to fair 21st century approaches to migration and alienates no one and brings economic opportunity whilst honouring humanitarian needs. We are committed to listening to all stakeholders, including all countries present today. Germany is ready to listen and lead the way with humility and ingenuity. We look forward to a constructive debate this afternoon that is fair and just, although in an ideal world, human dignity is not up for discussion. Thank you.
Ringrazzjak. Issa nsejjaħ il-delegazzjoni ta' North Macedonia, Amy Kalleja.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I am Amy Kalleja on behalf of the North Macedonian delegation. Illegal immigration is a global emergency. North Macedonia pleads guilty for all our previous shortcomings. But what matters today is the steps that we are ready to take and the steps we actually take. The former Yugoslav Republic of Macedonia is very diverse in nature, as it is home to several different ethnic and cultural groups. The country holds a rather hopeful outlook on this matter, with it not being considered of one of the top 10 most urgent problems being faced by the country. North Macedonia is considered a transit country for immigrants, meaning it is viewed as a place where immigrants pass through to reach their desired destination. This is because it is located between the Mediterranean Sea, which is a very large source for immigrants, and the Central Europe, which is many immigrants' final destination. Since 2015, the government has worked tirelessly following an immigration crisis. It has since broken down the border barrier, built on the Greek border, which was built in 2015. The rulebook for the reception centre for foreigners has been implemented by the North Macedonian government, with the aim of protecting immigrants. A person can only be legally detained for 24 hours, and transiting immigrants are given up to 3 days to pass through the country without being detained. Asylum seekers are also protected, as they are exempted from an immigration control measures. The success has been tremendous. The number of detainees has reduced drastically, dropping from over 1,500 detainees in 2015 to just under 400 in 2016. However, we are not there yet. We all have a very long way to go. There have been several incidents where migrants have unfortunately been placed in inhumane conditions. In July and August of 2020, there have been reports of immigrants being smuggled in vans. And unfortunately, there have also been instances where migrants were detained for over 30 days and were found in inhumane conditions. North Macedonia is doing its utmost to mitigate migrants and provide them with the best quality of life. However, we are all equals. We cannot stand alone and tackle this problem as individual countries. We call for unity. This is not a problem. This is not a national problem, nor is it a European problem. It is a global crisis. We are constantly striving to do better. This is not us versus them, people with a home versus immigrants. This is a measure of humanity and every person's right to a home. The fight against illegal immigration cannot be left to only one country. It is not a country-based problem. Fellow delegates, we call upon you to unite and combat this emergency. We urge you to place humanity at the forefront. Thank you.
Issa għandna osservazzjoni jew domandi nseħ l-Italja. Natalia? Okay.
Thank you for the floor, Mr. Speaker. My name is Liam Zarpiccione, and on behalf of the Italian delegation, I would like to ask a question to the German delegation. The German delegate mentioned that Germany took in 1.5 million migrants, but this comes at a cost. This cost is the rise of xenophobia, as well as the rise of violent crime, which is becoming more and more exaggerated in the German media. So, with this in mind, how does Germany plan to combat these problems? Thank you.
Germania.
Thank you for the question. I am Eve Borch-Bonalo on behalf of the Federal Republic of Germany, going to address the question put forward by the Italian delegate. Yes, there has been a rise in problems, but this is also a byproduct of globalization. This is because the German government decided to save these lives without thinking of the bureaucratic procedures that followed. Yes, there are issues, but we are combating them slowly and surely. This is being done through several of our courses and also by many initiatives made to streamline these migrants and refugees into employment. Thank you.
Pronto.
Thank you for the floor, Mr. Speaker. I am Michaela Giorgio on behalf of the French delegation. My question is directed to the German delegation. Xenophobia is on the rise across Europe, and what is your plan to tackle this within the German borders? Thank you.
Germany again.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I am Amy Mali on behalf of the German delegation, and I would like to answer the French delegation's question. Globalization is an inevitable phenomenon that has characterized the first part of the 21st century. It is a global phenomenon, and it also applies to Europe as a whole. Now, Germany has been experiencing xenophobia due to the immigration it has been experiencing. However, xenophobia is the result of people and citizens which are trying to adapt and to accept and integrate within a society that is actively changing. Therefore, these demographic changes cannot be avoided. However, with the stimulus packages and with the initiative that Germany has been putting effectively into place, we are aiming at gradually integrating our citizens within a different society. It is only normal, it is only natural that citizens will feel and experience xenophobia due to the changing world which we are experiencing. However, with different initiatives and implementation of our initiatives and laws, we aim at creating an integrated society and a multicultural one which stands to be adapt and change to the changing times and demographic changes. Thank you.
Thank you. Martha?
Thank you for the floor, Mr. Chairperson. I am Christine Mitzi on behalf of the Maltese delegation. My question is for Germany. In 2020, Angela Merkel stated that enforcing equality is a big task. However, that being said, there is no equality being instilled in the orderly return law. This is where immigrants who are less skilled than others are being deported back, and only the asylum seekers who can offer something to Germany are being kept. How do you think that this is just? And this is literally just an act of discrimination. And how do you think that this could be solved? Because I honestly don't think that this is equality. Thank you.
Germany.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
I am Amy Mali on behalf of the German delegation, and I would like to answer the question set forth by the delegation of Malta. Germany has accepted 1.5 million refugees. However, it has deported approximately 100,000 refugees. This is in line with the international laws which are at work. Furthermore, this amendment was necessary so as to update the regulations and migrant laws which were in place from the 1960s, so as to make sure that the law is adequate within the modern context which we are experiencing of globalization and changing demography. Thank you.
Grazie d'Italia.
Thank you for the floor, Mr. Chairperson. I am Malcolm Muscat on behalf of the Italian delegation. And my question is directed towards the delegation of North Macedonia. Due to North Macedonia's very diverse population, as well as the large influx of migrants in the region, how does North Macedonia plan on preserving it? Thank you.
Yvan. North Macedonia.
I'm Michele on behalf of the North Macedonian delegation. Thank you, Italy, for your question. Basically, a lot is already being done to promote and encourage different cultures to coexist together in North Macedonia. There are several existing initiatives to do so, and we do not think that just because there are new cultures is going to affect. Rather, we think that it is an opportunity to embrace more diversity and continue with the initiatives already being put forward. Thank you.
Arbenio.
Elsa Bonello, on behalf of the Albanian delegation. I would like to ask a question to the North Macedonian delegation. What does the research show with regards to the futures of the European economy? Can it sustain illegal immigrants? Thank you.
North Macedonia.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. Isaac Muscat, speaking on behalf of the North Macedonian delegation. In response to Albania's question, North Macedonia is prioritizing collaboration in recent years. In fact, we are, like Albania, we are a candidate for the European Union, and more than ever, we are giving importance to collaboration with other countries when it comes to such to this issue. Thank you.
United Kingdom.
Thank you for the floor. Jeremy Vella on behalf of the UK delegation. We have a question for the German delegation. As was asked multiple times, in 2015, Germany accepted 1.5 million immigrants. Now, in previous answers, the German delegation said that this was almost done on a whim, as if it was a lapse in judgment that they did not foresee the possible consequences of this action. But this is not the case at all. Angela Merkel proudly proclaimed that Germany had a culture of welcoming, and the majority of the population was enthusiastic about this flood of immigrants. In 2015, as we know, tragically, terrorist attacks occurred, and the population started slowly becoming disillusioned with this plan. In 2019, Germany passed a law that said, much similar to what the UK has, that only skilled workers can enter. And part of the package of this law was that it facilitates deportation of immigrants. So the question is, what happened to this culture of welcoming? Why did their plan change? Why did this ideological change occur? The German delegation used talking points of globalism being inevitable. But clearly what they're pushing in Europe is not this kind of inevitable globalization because of the free market. It's a strong push, possibly leading up to a dissolution of borders. So what changed? Was it simply because of the past election? Was it because of a negative result that Angela Merkel and the German government plans has changed? Thank you.
Germany.
Thank you for the floor. I am Eve Bortbonello on behalf of the Federal Republic of Germany, ready to answer the question put forward by the British delegation. I would like everyone to recognise the weight of a question that keeps being mentioned, xenophobia. I ask you, what's worse, dealing with the aftermath of accepting 1.5 million immigrants, saving 1.5 million lives and dealing with the aftermath, which, might I remind you, our Chancellor said she has no regrets over. This wasn't done on a whim. This was done to save lives of people in a war getting persecuted. What's worse, saving these people immediately, protecting their dignity, or not doing that, but we won't have to deal with xenophobia, right? And might I remind you, much as every government present in this room's government chants this at every opportunity, we took in people fleeing persecution, we saved their lives, but we went over and above our responsibility. But we have no obligation to keep illegal immigrants not facing persecution and are simply economic migrants, not refugees. Once again, I mentioned this isn't because we're going back on our decision. Once again, Angela Merkel said she has no regrets. We saved these lives and we're dealing with the aftermath, rather than letting bureaucratic institutions take over and letting people die at sea. Thank you.
Thank you, Franz.
Thank you for the floor, Mr. Speaker. I am Keith Anjou, speaking on behalf of the French delegation. I would like to direct our query towards the North Macedonian delegation. You speak of integration for those immigrants that remain in North Macedonia, but you do not speak of any concrete policies. Would you like to elaborate on said policies? Thank you.
North Macedonia.
Hey, Michalea, on behalf of the North Macedonian delegation, thank you for your question. Basically, there are a lot of, apart from policies which are protecting immigrants, as I previously mentioned, that they are only being withheld for 24 hours. They are given 3 days before to pass through the country. For regarding integration, as you asked, there are several initiatives. For example, many festivals which are organized throughout the year which embrace cultures. Additionally, students who are attending education up to a university level can access this education in all of the recognized languages, which there are 7 of them, and they are also taught different languages from a primary level to up to before tertiary level, where it is compulsory for every student in Macedonia to at least learn one language, another official language, rather other than their native. Thank you.
Albania.
Thank you for the floor, Speaker. This is Haley Chantar speaking on behalf of the Albanian delegation and wishes to ask a question towards the German delegation. Non-EU high schoolers are not allowed to enter Germany to complete or start their high school experience in Germany. And there are also numerous petitions for them to start their high school experience or complete their high school experience this coming August or September. University students, however, whether they are EU or non-EU, are still being allowed to start their university experience or complete their university experience in Germany. Does Germany have something against non-EU high schoolers wishing to start or complete their high school experience in Germany? Thank you.
Germania. But you have an intervention on that, right?
Thank you for the floor, Mr. Speaker. I am Eve Bortbonello on behalf of the Albanian, the German delegation, responding to the Albanian delegation's question. We simply do not accept these students as we conform to the Erasmus laws in Europe, making European educations competitive. As you very well said, we have open borders to students seeking to obtain a university education in Germany. It is not a question of ageism or anything against non-EU students. Simply, it's just conforming with demand and supply. As I said before, we are open to university students, so I don't understand how your question could ask if we have something against non-EU students when we accept them for university degrees. Thank you.
Thank you for the floor, Jeremy Vella, on behalf of the UK delegation. The German delegation said that Angela Merkel had no regrets and that they were under no obligation to keep up with this project. But they did not answer the question of then why did this change occur? Whether it was because of a change of values, whether it was because they understood that it would have been a failed project, whether it was simply because of a slightly more negative result in the election. And they also did not answer why they continue to push for globalism, which they call is an inevitable process. It is not. And they acknowledge that globalism is part of the problem at the same time. Thank you.
Germania.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I am Amy Mully on behalf of the German delegation, and I would like to answer the query set forward by the delegation of the United Kingdom. Globalization, as we have mentioned multiple times, is inevitable. It's a worldwide phenomenon and not just a European or German one. Well, firstly, our code of laws relating to migration had not been changed until from the 1960s, when Germany was disunified in Western Eastern Germany. Therefore, after our unification, the migrant laws remained there, and adequately so, we decided to amend those laws so as to fit the modern context which we are living in. Which is why we adapted those laws which were open to all migrants, to a large, wide range of migrants, and restricted those so as to be adapted to the modern context in which we are living in. Secondly, we are open to reflecting the opinions of our constituents. By having people who are xenophobic, we cannot alienate their opinions. If we alienate their opinions, we are only ignoring a problem and letting it fester within our society, which is why we are implementing these new initiatives and we are taking these steps so as to gradually address this issue, which is a very serious one, instead of completely ignoring it by simply setting it aside. When you address an issue, when you know there is xenophobia, when you start hearing these opinions and acting upon them, that is when the issue is starting to be solved. It's not simply there just to be there out for the people, but it's there to be addressed, it's there which is to be solved, and it's there to find a common solution with compromising between different parties. Thank you.
Grazie Hafna. Mela, issa wara li ġiet prezentata r-rizoluzzjoni, nifhem li hemm diversi emendi għar-rizoluzzjoni u ħansejħ l-ewwel l-Germania biex tressaq l-emenda għar-rizoluzzjoni u nieħdu vot fuq kull emenda. Għandna seba' emendi, nibda mill-Germania. Germany.
Thank you for the floor, Mr. Speaker. I am Ivo Bonello on behalf of the Federal Republic of Germany. Our resolution proposes another clause which states that a subclause that proposes the establishment of an efficient registration and data collection system for migrants in European states as to diagnose country-specific issues accordingly and provide immigrants' needs, thus implementing a safety net mechanism ensuring that they do not fall through the cracks. This is a very common sense proposal put forward simply by the fact that many countries claim to not know what the issues are and
be under his orders. Henceforth, our data collection system would help us diagnose the issues, because once we know what the problem is, we can act. This is something very basic, and we are shocked that it's not already done. And it's to systematically solve the problem. Thank you.
Grazie. Mela, l-emenda ta' Germania, għaw xie remarki fuq għadi? Għalli fukasni għadu vot, għaw remarki? Remarka, yes? Franza?
Thank you for the floor, Mr. Speaker. I'm Keita Majus on behalf of the French delegation. While it is a good idea as an amendment, do you consider that not all countries will have the funds to participate in such a scheme? Is there some sort of countermeasure to introduce funding for these smaller countries with a much smaller economy than Germany and France? Thank you.
Eva, also Germany.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I am Amy Mali on behalf of the German delegation, and I would like to address the French delegation's concern. The subclause we are proposing to insert is an addition to the clause 1.2, which calls upon the determination of several levels of assistance, including monetary and material assistance. Therefore, we are simply adding on, considering the monetary assistance, which was already mentioned in the clause, and therefore we are only elaborating upon that clause with the subclause we are proposing. Thank you.
Grazie, mela, ħalli nitfa' l-emenda għal vot, jekk m'hawnx aktar remarki. Dak favur? Ok, dak favur, dak kontra? L-emenda għaddiet. Issa nimxu għal emenda oħra, issa nseħħ il-delegazzjoni tal-Albanija biex tresaq l-emenda.
Thank you for the floor, Mr. Speaker. I might say I'm speaking on behalf of the Albanian delegation. And I would like to suggest the substitution of the following words of clause 1.4.2. The clause states, ensures that assigned temporary housing should include a room assigned to each person, unless the immigrant specifically asked to share their dormitories with one another for a maximum grace period of 5 years. So, we think, as an Albanian delegation, that 5 years is simply illegal. It is beyond any country's maximum of migrant asylum. It is not only beyond the maximum of the world's average, but also contradicts the whole resolution. The resolution is not valid with this clause. No amendment should contradict itself. Otherwise, there would be further amendment needed. No solution would be found. Clause 1.4.2 especially contradicts clauses 1.3.3, 2.2, and 2.3. Firstly being clause 1.3. It states that the process of redistribution should not be delayed by more than a month. How can this be supported and sustained when there is a 5-year maximum for housing and asylum? It simply doesn't add up. Furthermore, clause 2.2 reaffirms the tentatives of EALF to regulate relations between European nations and illegal immigrants. Neither this can be supported with the allowance of a 5-year housing maximum. Nothing is attainable with this time period. The time period itself isn't really attainable. And lastly, clause 2.3 states that Europe should be alarmed with the massive flows of migrants. How is it that states are alarmed but then allow an allowance of 5 years of asylum? A state of alarm does not last 5 years. A state of alarm drives a person to act in the moment. The contradiction of these two clauses are very apparent. 5 years of allowance for asylum should not be negotiated. It is not healthy for both the state or the individuals. 5 years is a long time. To aid the phenomenon of illegal immigration, one has to limit processing time instead of making it perfectly okay to elongate it and ultimately elongated the process of emigration. Thank you.
Okay, Mela, remarki? Yes, Macedonia, North Macedonia.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Amy Kaleo on the North Macedonian delegation, on behalf of the North Macedonian delegation. As a government, we are against this amendment. We believe that for immigrants to be able to be fruitful and to be able to reach their full potential, they have to be given the full possible support. This is obviously housing. We cannot expect one to thrive without without somewhere to live. Obviously, even to apply for a job, something that is always asked for is your address. So how can we expect immigrants to get enough support, to fund themselves enough to get accommodation if we are not ready to assist them to do so? Thank you.
Eva, Albania.
Mr. Speaker, I'm Isaiah, speaking on behalf of the Albanian delegation. And as the North Macedonian delegation knows, the Albanian country and the North Macedonian country both have quite poor ways of helping these immigrants. So how can you expect these immigrants to live 5 years in this simply not a well way to live life? 5 years is a long time, as I said. So by minimizing this time to only 6 months, these immigrants would only have a maximum of 6 months of living this poor way of life. Thank you.
UK.
Thank you for the floor, Mr. Chairperson. My name is Timothy Vella on behalf of the UK delegation. I believe that 5 years is enough. I think that this amendment was intended to ensure that we, or the EU countries at least, fund each other in the helping so that these immigrants actually have a place to live. After all, they all come from bad backgrounds, they all suffer, so I think 5 years is enough, if not more. So I think I would encourage EU countries to fund each other and assist each other. So at best, there ought to be an amending in the amendment. Thank you.
Thank you for the floor, Mr. Speaker. I'm Isaiah, speaking on behalf of the Albanian delegation, and I believe that the United Kingdom didn't quite get our resolution. We're not saying that 5 years is not more than enough. We are saying that 5 years is more than enough. We are saying that 6 months is sufficient. Thank you.
Franca.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, for the floor. I am Sean Farrugia on behalf of the French delegation. And the French delegation agrees with the United Kingdom, as we believe that adaptation does not happen in a matter of hours, and a period of 5 years is the minimum amount of time needed for illegal immigrants to adapt to the society that they are in. The maximum, sir.
Thank you for the floor, Mr. Speaker. My name is Liam Sarpiccione, and on behalf of the Italian delegation, I would like to address the amendment being proposed. First off, 6 months is definitely not sufficient. In order for persons to fully integrate with a society, one must learn their language. It is important to note that in the worst case scenario, in order for a person to become fluent in a language, it takes around 2,200 hours, which in 6 months seems very, very unlikely. Not to mention that these people must find a job in order to support their families, as well as, first off, trying to make a living and finding a good house. Secondly, the state of alarm that was mentioned is sufficient due to the fact that these migrations come in waves, which is why we must be alarmed in the geopolitical situation around us. If we are not careful, and if we do not plan from before, we cannot succeed in order to helping others. Thank you.
Albania,
I'm sure. Mr. Speaker, I'm addressing on behalf of the Albanian delegation. And may I remind all of the delegations that the middle of the average time European countries allow migrant asylum is, in fact, 6 months. So that would mean that the average would be 1 year of asylum, so 5 years is simply illegal. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm Keita Majous on behalf of the French delegation. By which criminal code is 5 years illegal? Thank you.
Okay, Melanie, for our vote, d'ac favor. Da contra? L'emendament ditch. Nimxu għall-emenda li miss, unsej issa l-delegazzjoni ta' Franza biex tressaq l-emenda.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I am Amy Borch on behalf of the French delegation. Our amendment is the introduction of a subclause 1.6.2. It is a proposal to encourage promotion of national debate to combat the rise of populism as a result of the burden of illegal immigration. We have chosen to introduce this subclause because we, as a delegation, we recognize that migration is a matter of high concern that must be discussed on a national level, wherein everyone must receive the opportunity to voice their opinions. An example of how this has been done in the past is the Grand National Debate, a republic-organized series of events where the public have received the opportunity to discuss with government officials and pass opinions and suggestions regarding the topics at hand. We always seek to turn burdens into opportunities and therefore suggest the national approach of transforming populism into a healthy debate aimed towards integration and compromise. Thank you for the floor.
Grazie. Remarchi? Viva Germania.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, for opening the floor. I'm Eve Borch-Bonello on behalf of the Federal Republic of Germany. We would like to express a lot of support for this amendment for the simple reason that, as previously mentioned, the immigration situation could only be justly solved or improved if we listen to all stakeholders within our society. And simply ignoring populist, xenophobic ideas only lets them fester and get worse and worse until we repeat history. We are committed to not repeating history, so we are committed to education and listening. Thank you.
Grazie.
Thank you for the floor, Mr. Speaker. Our appreciation to the German delegation's support. Thank you.
Grazie. Jekk m'hawnx aktar remarki, nimxu għal vot. Dak favur? Dak kontra? L-emenda għaddiet. Kerrit. Nimxu issa l-emenda li jmiss. Nseħħel l-emenda li ħassi minnaħa tal-United Kingdom and Northern Ireland.
Thank you for the floor, Mr. Speaker. Mariana Ponch on behalf of the UK delegation. We are going to be adding a subclause to which is going to be 2.3.1. And our amendment states calls on the imposition of targeted sanctions against countries selling arms to armed groups in Libya, which violated United Nations ban, which would potentially hurt immigrants and Libyan citizens. As we all know, Libya is one of the countries who is right now destabilized and under civil war, and it is one of the routes being taken by many immigrants through the Mediterranean and also them actually risking their life to cross the Mediterranean Sea, and smugglers actually go using this as a way to make money, and many lives have been lost. And so we are calling to stop all arms being given to any of the Libyan armies or any of the groups in Libya, and therefore also targeting factories creating these arms in these countries. And an example of obviously would be France should stop giving its arms and making money out of people's lives, and as well Germany allowing exportation of 331.1 million arms going to either way, going to Egypt and going to the actually UN-supported government, and also to stop a rise of a dictatorship, which would cause a bigger problem in immigration. Thank you.
Grazie. Remarchi d'Italia.
Thank you for the floor, Mr. Chairperson. Benjamin Bouget on behalf of the Italian delegation. The amendment is good, but if you're going to stop selling arms to the Libyan army and to the Syrian army, migrants will find it easier to cross through the main routes of Libya and Syria. That's putting more burden on Europe and European countries. Thank you.
Petera.
Thank you for the floor, Mr. Speaker. Mariana Poch on behalf of the UK delegation. If we solve a war, we will finally stabilize this country. If we finally stabilize this country, we will have better control and better ways of actually stopping the bud of the issue through the Mediterranean, and also aiding Italy, aiding Malta, aiding every European country in the situation and actually helping out. Thank you.
Germania.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I am Amy Mali on behalf of the German delegation, and I would like to make a few comments about the amendment proposed by the British delegation. By exporting arms, Germany is following all legal premise and it is abiding by the freedom of the law of the freedom of the market. If we restrict this market from certain countries, we would only be impinging on the sovereignty of those nations. Therefore, the delegation of Germany would like to express its disagreement with the amendment set forth by the delegation of the United Kingdom. Thank you.
Thank you for the floor, Mr. Speaker. Mariana Pach on behalf of the UK delegation. Germany just before said and mentioned we are saving lives. And now we speak about sovereignty of law, about this market, which is a gun, shooting thousands, killing people, and you dare tell us that this is something restricting the law? This is not law-based. This is something killing people. You have blood on your hands if you don't accept this amendment.
Franca.
Thank you for the floor, Mr. Speaker. I'm Michael Gatt on behalf of the French delegation, and we would like to express our agreement with the German delegation. Thank you.
Thank you for the floor. Mariana Pach on behalf of the UK delegation. On what basis are you not accepting it?
Italia.
From the French.
Italia.
Thank you for the floor, Mr. Chairperson. I'm Benjamin Bojay on behalf of the Italian delegation. If we're going to stop selling arms to Libya and Syria, it is not the way how to solve the war. You have to solve the war in a conventional way. You have to find a balance between the burden on the European countries' economies and on accepting the immigrants in European countries. Thank you.
Guitara.
Thank you for the floor, Mr. Speaker. Mariana Pach on behalf of the UK delegation. Offering peace and actually trying to aid this country, trying to aid a recognized United Nations government is quite different from what other countries are doing. They are giving funds to as Khalifa Haftar, a man who is in dictatorship, which will end up with a Gaddafi state. Libya will do this all over again. So why not stop the armaments? It's not only European countries. These are countries that we are funding, that we are being given to the United Arab Emirates, to Egypt and other countries. Solving with arms has always proven a failure. So why not actually try and go to the country, try and find the peace, and try and help this country get back on its feet, helping ourselves also for the immigration problem, aiding them, and solving one of the biggest problems that we currently have. We cannot keep on forgetting and putting under the rug Libyan people and also immigrants who are being raped in the cells and being undergoing trauma because we decide not to do anything. Thank you.
Germania.
Thank you for the floor, Mr. Speaker. I am Yves Bonello on behalf of the Federal Republic of Germany. To be honest, we find it quite laughable that we are being accused of being hypocrites that are fueling a war when it is entrenched in international relations that superpowers and big countries are to support what they see fit as the right side in conflict. We are exporting arms, yes, but to the UN-backed leaders of these countries. You accuse us of having blood on our hands, but we are simply fighting dictatorships. And once again, we find it laughable to be accused of these war crimes when, at the end of the day, the UK itself sells arms to Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, Turkey, and even South Korea in the past. It is simply following the free market and it is in line with all legal and international relations law, and at the end of the day, stopping a country from doing so is impinging on our sovereignty, which, as the United Kingdom, I'm sure you could understand the concept of sovereignty. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you
for the floor. I am Jeremy Vella on behalf of the UK delegation. The main point of our amendment is that the UN has an embargo on arms sold in Libya, and Germany and France still sold arms to Libya. That is the entire point. Thank you.
Albania, واضح ان مشوا دم على الفوت.
Thank you for the floor, Mr. Chairman and Mr. Speaker. This is Hayley Chantar on behalf of the Albanian delegation. Albania shall be abstaining, as Albania does recognise, in fact, what the French delegation and also the German delegation, as well as the Italian delegation, have been stating in order to avoid this dictatorship, as well as recognises the fact that providing weapons does not aid to reduce wars, as well as we also know that they are also providing military ships in order for them to save the refugees at sea, but still are not using these efficiently. Thus, Albania recognises both sides to this story and decides to abstain from voting. Thank you.
Ok, Inghilterra. Grazie. Nimxu al vot. Da favur. Da contra. L'amendement dic. L'amenda li missija tal-Italia, u se l-Italia tressaq l-amenda.
Thank you for the floor, Mr. Speaker. I'm Benjamin Bugey on behalf of the Italian delegation. We would like to introduce a new subclause for clause number 2.6.3, which states that encourages governments to adopt policies allowing migrants to check their ancestral bloodline in order to find out if their ancestors were previously citizens, using this as a possible avenue for citizenship, thus increasing legal migration. This will help for the immigrants to find their ancestral family, which will help more stabilize the country with legal and illegal migration. Thank you.
Remarki, North Macedonia.
Thank you for the floor. I'm Claire Kalia on behalf of the North Macedonian delegation. We do not support this amendment as we do not think that the ancestral history of an immigrant or any individual should affect their chances of citizenship. Thank you.
Italia.
Thank you for the floor, Mr. Speaker. My name is Liam Zarpeccione, and on behalf of the Italian delegation, I shall respond to their query. You see, this is not the de facto factor that determines Italian citizenship. However, it is one of the avenues that are available. The aim of this is not to just widely accept persons just because of their ancestral history. No. However, it is just one factor which allows new opportunities, new migrants, that in a way that we can deal with them on a legal basis. This makes it much easier for the state to provide welfare and other benefits to these people. Thank you.
Eva, Italia, Inghilterra.
Thank you for the floor. I am Jeremy Vell on behalf of the UK delegation. I think it is very obvious that there will be negative consequences to having one's government care about one's racial identity. This will lead to obviously negative consequences in the future. Thank you.
Yeah.
Could please England the English now. Thank you for the floor, Mr. Chairperson. I'm Benjamin Bugey on behalf of the Italian delegation. Could the English delegation please elaborate on what negative factors there are? Thank you.
Malta.
Thank you for the floor, Mr. Chairperson. I'm Kaylee Greco on behalf of the Maltese delegation. We agree with North Macedonia's statement to disagree, because we don't believe that ancestry, finding out your ancestry, will help an immigrant integrate with the community, and it should not affect the welfare of the government. Welfare should still be given, whether the ancestry is Italian or not. Thank you.
Italia.
Thank you for the floor, Mr. Speaker. My name is Liam Sarpeccione, and on behalf of the Italian delegation, I shall respond to their query. You see, this is, once again, this is no de facto factor in determining legal migration. However, it is just one avenue. If we can conduct these sort of tests, we can help these migrants reach their families. Once this will create nothing more, but a stable environment for them. Not only will they be able to live in a home with satisfactory conditions, but rather they will also be able to thrive. If not, then it's not a problem, as Italy already protects the migrants within its borders, as with the aforementioned welfare benefits in my speech. Thank you.
Germania.
Thank you for the floor, Mr. Speaker. This is Yves Borch-Bonello on behalf of the Federal Republic of Germany. We would like to make everyone consider 3 points, meaning that the Italian delegation keeps repeating how this is not a de facto way of deciding who stays and who goes in terms of immigration, then why bother wasting resources on it? Also, it's very clear, and through various scientific studies, we know that these genetic tests are not completely scientifically founded. Usually the results of these tests would say 63%, Aryan 67, and whatever. But this doesn't mean that someone is 63% Aryan. It means that their genetic code matches that of 63% of a group of Aryan people. It is simply not scientifically sound, and I doubt that we could form a viable immigration policy on a test that's barely sound. Also, it doesn't make sense because someone who has a parent of another from another country, yes, has a dual passport, but using the ancestry as a form of legitimacy, it's a slippery slope. What stops me from saying I have an American cousin, so I deserve an American passport? And just for the means of illustrating my point, imagine we were to take a country like America and conduct these tests. Literally no one would be American except the natives. It's all immigration. It's unviable. Thank you.
Italy. Phil Oswald, and then behind Shadow So.
Thank you for the floor, Mr. Speaker. My name is Nizar Pechon, and on behalf of the Italian delegation, I shall respond to Germany's query. Once again, we have already implemented this in Italian law, and so far we have seen promising results. Once again, I mention this. It is not a de facto way, in the sense that other migrants have other opportunities in order to gain Italian citizenship. This is just a way to streamline the process, a way in which we can deal with these persons who may have had unfortunate circumstances in the country, moved to somewhere else, and dealt even more circumstances. This is just one way in order to cover an extraordinary circumstances. Once again, these DNA tests are not on race, but rather on nationality. Once again, Italian is not a race, it's just a nationality. If we can find people who have a high match for them, then maybe we can establish contact, and from there we can begin. I would like to elaborate on my previous point. Italian forms part of the Mediterranean race, sort of. It's quite weird. It depends on how you classify race. It's quite a controversial topic. However, we believe that with the support of these families, we are able to divert our resources into others that are in more need of dire help. Thank you.
Franza.
Thank you for the floor, Mr. Speaker. I'm Michaela George on behalf of the French delegation. So the way of citizenship you mentioned was sponsorship, and this is usually accepted through marital status, so if I marry someone, or through your grandmother, so second generation where it's accepted. So if the people who are tested are somewhat Italian and they don't have a high percentage, obviously it isn't like legal to give them sponsorship. And why are you trying to control, like, you say you want to control the amount of illegal immigrants coming into your country, but like now you're asking for more, it's very contradictory. Thank you. And also, being Mediterranean is not a race. Thank you.
L'Italia. Amina, mod conclusif, khalli nimshiu ala men l'ohra. Concludi.
Thank you for the floor, Mr. Chairperson. My name is Nizar Pechon, and on behalf of the Italian delegation, I shall respond to their question. Firstly, this aims to try to find the immigrants that have relations in two Italian people in the immigrants that are already in Italy. Once again, we cannot conduct any tests if they are not in our borders. Secondly, as I mentioned before, race is very, very subjective, as it is very mixed and intertwined with ethnicity and nationality. So I can ask another person here, and they might have another totally different opinion. Once again, it depends on the subject. However, I would like to mention this, that it is not a de facto factor. It is only another way in which we can streamline the process and give these persons legal status in such a way that we can divert our resources to others. If it does not work, then fine. But we also accept other evidence. If a person is able to prove that he or she is related to an Italian, then we can allow it, as they might help in his or her situation. Why are we arguing over the fact that persons can help? Why are we stopping this? If we people have an opportunity to help, then why not? Why not do it? Yes, it may be a bit controversial that it might be based a bit on race. I understand that. However, when there is an opportunity to help, it is our duty to do so. Thank you.
Grazie, ma raħan imxu għal-vot fuq l-emenda kif imresqa mill-Italja. Dak favur? Dak kontra? L-emenda ma diċ. Sejjaħ għal-sitt emenda biex titrasaq minn Malta.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, for the floor. I am Justine Falzon speaking on behalf of the Maltese delegation. The Maltese delegation would like to introduce a new subclause, 3.1.3, that reads the following. Enforces the fair payment of workers in which salaries must be given in respect to their employment, condemning employers who underpay workers without valid reason. We believe that it is morally right to pay immigrants just as much as normal workers, and it is a sense of equality. Thank you very much.
Remarki? Jek mawx Franza?
Thank you, Speaker. I'm Keaton Anjous on behalf of the French delegation. I would like to show my delegation's full support for the Maltese delegation's amendment. You are aware of the problems in your country, and your amendment tries to tackle that. That is highly appreciated. Thank you.
Grazie. Albania?
The delegation of Albania too would like to show their full support, especially if the Maltese delegation would definitely pay the minimum wage or more, especially if these immigrants show that they are skilled enough just as the Maltese citizens themselves. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On behalf of the German delegation, I would like to express our agreement. Thank you.
Italia.
Thank you for the floor, Mr. Speaker. I'm Benjamin Bouge on behalf of the Italian delegation. Italy would like to show its full support, but it would like Malta to elaborate more on the fact that if the wages are the same as Maltese people's salaries, the employers would prefer to employ Maltese people than migrants. So it will cause like an instability in the employment chain. Thank you.
Malta.
Thank you for the floor, Mr. Speaker. I am Kaylee Gregg on behalf of the Maltese delegation. I do not fully agree with your point. If I am an employer and the immigrant and the Maltese citizen are both fully capable of doing a job, then why would I pay the immigrant less? That is complete discrimination and racism in that case. Thank you.
Grazie, ma l-nistam xo għal-vot. Dak favur? Dak kontra? L-emenda għaddit. Niġu għall-axħar emenda li hija tan-Nord Macedonia u għalli kien seħ il-Nord Macedonia biex isqu l-emenda.
Thank you for the floor, Mr. Speaker. I am Jake Vella speaking on behalf of the North Macedonian delegation. We propose to introduce a new subclause, 3.4.3, which reads as follows. Proposes the establishment of a program where citizens of the country and migrants who form a community can interact, directly communicate together and participate in activities together to make the community more diverse yet united. North Macedonia believes that we should not just educate people in classrooms like the traditional form of education, but also take a more special and practical take by promoting meetings between citizens and migrants to promote unity in diversity, equality and respect for all. Thank you.
Prosit. Remarki. Malta.
Thank you for the floor, Mr. Speaker. Kaylee Greer, on behalf of the Maltese delegation, and we would like to support the North Macedonian delegation, as it is something very unique and special that I think would stand out in such a community. Thank you.
Gitero.
Thank you for the floor, Mr. Chairperson. Timothy Vella, on behalf of the UK delegation. We, too, would like to express our support for the North Macedonian amendment. We believe that diversity is extremely important. The UK, too, is a very multi-ethnic country, so we appreciate that they're trying to create communities with all these diverse people. Thank you.
Germania.
Thank you for the floor, Mr. Speaker. I'm Amy Mully on behalf of the German delegation. We would like to express our complete agreement with the proposition, with the amendment proposed by the North Macedonian delegation. These similar initiatives have been implemented also within Germany, Ireland and many other places, and they have proven very successful. Thank you.
Manso.
Thank you for the floor, Mr. Speaker. As a government that strongly believes in unity and diversity, we support your amendment. However, we think it's of great importance that before the meetings happen between citizens and immigrants, there would be the immigrants would be given language lessons, so to come over that language barrier. Thank you.
North Macedonia, osservazione così.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Isaac Muscat on behalf of the North Macedonian delegation. We did not mention this issue when it comes to languages because it was already present in the resolution. That's why. Thank you.
Albania.
Thank you for the floor, Mr. Speaker. This is Hayley Chantar on behalf of the Albanian delegation. The Albanian delegation fully supports this solution. However, just a bit of a more clarification in regards to where to get the financial resources, just a bit of a more elaboration. However, just to reclarify, the Albanian delegation does in fact agree to the solution. Thank you.
Grazie. Akom Shizidu, North Macedonia. Abemat Pahalvot.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I am Amy Kale on behalf of the North Macedonian delegation. First of all, we appreciate your support. As you said, yes, funding is essential. It is already being proposed in this amendment to increase funding, so we think that it is only suitable that funding goes to such an important project. Thank you.
Grazie, mera haressa l'emenda al vot, da favur, da contra l'emenda diet, carit. Issa addena l'emenda kolla, fejn ovvjament kien hemm uħud minnhom li għaddew uħud minnhom għaddewx. Allura ħaressa r-riżoluzzjoni skont kif ġiet emendata, dak favur, dak kontra, ir-riżoluzzjoni kif emendata għaddiet. Nirringrazzjakom ħafna, jena verament ħadd biex niċċerja din il-laqgħa, verament ikontu preparati, ħaltu tajjeb ħafna fil-suġġett u mhux biss mid-domandi u mill-osservazzjonijiet anke mill-emendi kif ġew preparati, irid ngħidilkom prosit, dak il-mod kif wieħed jistudja u jiddibatti, u ta' dan verament il-Parlament Malti irid jirringrazzjakom, Franz tirringrazzjakom tax-xogħol li għamiltu, xogħol tajb ħafna. Issa kulma ħana maħna sospendi ftit, ovvjament ħalli tieħdu kafe u tieħdu ftit break hawnhekk, u nerġa' niltaqgħu ħalli bbagħad ikolna il-group photo fl-imkien u fl-ftsassin jinaqdu manna u koll il-ġaġis wara li għamlu x-xogħol tagħhom. Nirringrazzjahom.
Hello.
Sir President, bil permessijak nishtiq nistieden il-chairman tal-panel of judges, Kurt Villafonde, biex jipprezenta il-rapport tal-judges.
Fidejk.
First of all, dear participants, I would like to congratulate you all. As Mr. Stivala spoke at the beginning of the session, you're all winners. You're all winners because you learned a lot. We saw, as judging panel, we've seen you growing from the first session till today. Some a bit more acting and public speaking. We've seen you working together like, as teams. And that's something which the Mini European Assembly really cherishes. In fact, as judging panel, we gave much more importance as time went by to team effort. Those individuals who were talking, making their speeches, but realizing that you were not doing your teamwork or discussing throughout, you were losing some points. Okay? But as teams, those who worked as teams, we recognize that. Okay? So, let's start with the ambassadors.
Yes.
So,
procedura, they stand up.
Eva. So, those who I call will stand up, okay? Obviously, we can't give you certificates today because of COVID. They will be sent to you at a later date. Right, Gianluca? So, Yves Borge Bonello. Amy Mallia. Maria Elena Pach. Jeremy Vella. Andrew Bellizzi. Martea Grek. Jana Buzutil. Elsa Bonello. Amy Calleja. These are the ambassadors. Best effort, prize for best effort.
You can sit down.
Best prize for best effort offered by Mr. Speaker. Maria Elena Pach. Prize for Best Speaker, Liam Zarpiccione. The moment we're all waiting for. Third prize as a team goes to France. Second prize goes to North Macedonia. First prize goes to Germany. Yeah. That's it.
Ringrazjakom, verament kienet serata sabiħa, sedutan verament di tatil frott, u kem dok li rebħu, u kem dok li ħossun ma rebħux, kolħat rebaħ, għalġintkom kolla parteċbajtu b'mod nobli u professjonali. Ringrazjakom u grazzi ħafna.